The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody survived the heat? I ran into a lot of people the other day at the parade. They had my costume on, so my wife went to call it. So they didn't recognize me. But it was nice and hot. We have elders meeting tomorrow night, 7. Bible study on Tuesday morning at 9.
Hi, I'm Deborah.
7 o'clock Wednesday night, the Bible study. 1 o'clock, ladies' aid Bible studies on Thursday. Jerry?
Elders meeting on
Thursday. Do you want to say anything about your Jerry? Do you want to say anything about what's happening this week?
Other than we leave Thursday for Apple because Denny's heart surgery is scheduled for Friday morning.
Nice and early. So keep standing your prayers. Jerry also. Yeah, Patty. Anybody else have announcements? Yes. Oh.
The voters meeting, that's been changed to Tuesday instead of Monday. Tuesday the 22nd at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we were talking about it. Well, I didn't know it was in the voting yet, so we were talking about it in the office. And then the next Tuesday is the anniversary meeting. Last Tuesday of the month. Let us rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Jesus.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. That I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them.
Announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. Turn to me and be gracious to me.
For I am humble and afflicted.
Consider my affliction, my trouble.
And forgive all my sins.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. You are the God of my salvation.
For you I pray all the day long.
Yet my eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For you will block my feet out of the net.
O guard my soul and deliver me.
Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you.
Turn to me and be gracious to me.
For I am lonely and afflicted.
Consider my affliction and my trouble.
And forget all my sins.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, multiply your mercy upon us that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A confessional reading from the Catechism. Why can we be confident that the Bible is the authoritative and inerrant Word of God? In the Gospel, the central message of the Bible, God promises us new life on the basis of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God's promises also create faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, whom we trust, declares that all the Scriptures are God's own words, completely dependable in all that they teach and without error. Jesus uses the Old Testament Scriptures as God's Word. He continually affirms Scripture as authoritative with phrases such as, "It is written," and "Have you not read?" He assures us that Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus claims the same authority for himself, saying, for example, "I save you," or "Truly, truly, I say," or explicitly claiming his words to be spirit and life. Just as God called and authorized prophets in the Old Testament, put his words in their mouths and fulfilled their prophecies, so Jesus called and authorized his apostolic witnesses to speak his word, guided by his Spirit. Note, we believe the Word of God has the power in itself to convince the reader or hearer of its authority, because it is God's Word. It is self-authenticating. The Word of God does what it says. Do we use human reason to understand the Bible? Yes. The human reason must be used with appropriate limits, as a servant to the text, to understand the Bible's meaning properly. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is essential, because Scripture is given in human language to read and rightly understand what it says. We must humbly use human reason in such matters as context, grammar, and logic. Psalm 119. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Acts 17. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Because the Bible is God's Word, and unlike all other books, is inspired and inerrant, it is wrong to use human reason to question or deny its truthfulness. Romans 3. Let God be true, though every one were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. 2 Corinthians 10. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Colossians 2. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. 2 Timothy 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. 2 Peter 3, count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. These are some things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do with the other Scripture. Note, the fact that the Bible is written in human language does not imply fallibility or error. Here the incarnation guides our thinking. Jesus was true man without sin and true God. So also the Bible is truly human, without error, and truly divine. The very word of God in the words of men. For this reason, the Bible's truthfulness should not be questioned or denied, as happens, for example, with historical criticism. The Old Testament reading is written in the 7th chapter of Micah, beginning with verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. You have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with our gradual printed in your bulletin. Cast your burden on the Lord,
and he will sustain you.
I call to God, and the Lord will save me.
He redeems my soul in safety.
Our epistle is written in 1 Timothy, beginning with the first chapter, beginning with verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my God, my fortress, and my deliverer. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man eats with sinners and eats with them." He spoke this parable to them, saying, "One man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel reading.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified and died in the grave,
He descended into hell.
The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
And sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
save sinners, based off our gospel reading, where Jesus said the Pharisees complained, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. Well, the Pharisees grumbled against Jesus, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They mean for this to be a condemnation against Jesus. Still, they inadvertently speak the sweetest words of the gospel and describe Jesus as the kindest Lord and the dearest friend of sinners. It is as St. Paul proclaims in his letter to the Philippians, "Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." Jesus receives sinners. No more comforting words have ever been spoken. Indeed, this is the heart of the gospel. St. Paul writes in his letter to 1 Timothy, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. And this is why he descended from his throne in heaven and was found in human form." Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And for this purpose, and this purpose alone, dear saints in Christ, these are exclusive words. Jesus came to save sinners, and sinners alone. He did not come for anyone else. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is likewise confronted by the Pharisees for eating and drinking with sinners, and he responds, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So if you're not a sinner, then Jesus did not come for you. If you want to eat and drink with Jesus, you must be a sinner. Now, this does not mean that you need to go out and commit heinous crimes or live like a pervert, a thief, or a vandal in order for Jesus to take notice of you. No. You commit enough sins already without even exerting any special effort. Rather, you must become aware of your sin. Christianity is not about earning your seat at God's table. Christianity is about recognizing your need for salvation, recognizing that you are a poor, miserable sinner who deserves nothing from God but temporal and eternal death. Yet seeing Christ Jesus as your salvation is only when you recognize your lost condition that you can see Jesus alone as your only hope. This is why Jesus says that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The angels in heaven, whose sole joy in life is to please God, rejoice with exceeding joy to see sinners become aware of their sin and their need for Jesus. They rejoice to see Jesus' work bear fruit. The word repent means to change one's mind. This is a change from a mind that does not know God to a mind that knows God. A change from a mind that does not know grace to a mind that knows God's grace in Jesus Christ. You know, the first part of repentance is to realize that you are a sinner and to mourn your sinful condition. And the way that you realize that you are a sinner is through the preaching of the law. Now, the Pharisees thought that the law showed the way to eternal life. They were wrong. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, "If If a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And then again in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." You see, the Pharisees tried to justify themselves by their own works of the law and remained ignorant of the sin of which the law accused and condemned them. Whoever these tax collectors and sinners who gather around Jesus are fully aware of their sinful condition. The law has struck them hard and exposed to their wounds. They don't come to Jesus as worthy lords to eat with their equal. No, they simply come as beggars, naked, who know that they're naked, dirty, who know that they're dirty, stinky and aware of their stench, hungry and aware of their hunger. They know they are dying, and they look to Jesus as the only one who can make them live. You see, the preaching of the law seems unkind. It's impolite to point out faults in others or to question their lifestyle. However, the preaching of the law is about as unkind as a doctor telling a patient he has cancer. It is necessary in order to get the necessary treatment. And Jesus is the necessary treatment to all who have the disease of sin. When you hear that you are breaking God's commands, you should respond with sorrow over your sin. And do not be like the Pharisees and lie to yourself. Repentance is not complete without faith in Jesus. The law makes you fully aware of your sinful condition, but it gives you no remedy. You see, only the gospel, which reveals to you a gracious God who sent his Son to die to take away your sins, only the gospel can save you. Only the gospel can complete this change of mind from one without hope to one with a certain hope of salvation. So Jesus tells a few parables to explain how this repentance is accomplished. I want to focus on the two parables about the lost sheep and the lost coin. In these two parables, Jesus is the shepherd and the woman. You sinners are the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now you'll notice that in both of these parables, Jesus doesn't talk a whole lot about the sheep or the coin that is lost. Rather, it is the shepherd and the woman who do all the work. The shepherd searches for the lost sheep, and when he finds it, he picks it up and carries it home on his shoulders. The lost sheep is completely helpless, can't find its way home. It's vulnerable to every predator, from bears and lions to wolves and jackals. I even once read a report of a so-called carnivorous bush, so-called by the shepherds, because of how the lost sheep would get their wool stuck in the thorns of a bramble bush and would only get more entangled the more they struggled. And then they would often die of thirst in the plant's clutches. You see, sheep are helpless. Jesus describes only the work of the shepherd to save the sheep, not the sheep to save itself. And the coin is even more pathetic than the sheep. The coin can do absolutely nothing but sit and wait until the woman finds it. Jesus describes the work of repentance then as his work, not the sinner's. This conflicts with how you naturally think of it. You think of repentance as something you do to change your heart. However, How can a sinful heart change itself? It cannot. Rather, God must change your hearts. Just as it is God's work alone which sent Jesus to pay for your sins upon the cross and to rise from the dead, so also it is God's work alone to turn your unbelieving hearts, dead in sin, to believing hearts, alive in Christ. You look at the preaching of the gospel as a work of men, but it is not. Sure, men labor in studying the Word of God and proclaiming it in easy-to-understand words, and it's a difficult task, but no human being can bring another to faith. It is God alone who works through the preaching of the gospel to create faith. It is God alone who makes alive. Nevertheless, this does not mean that God works apart from the words of Christians. St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. No one ever came to saving faith apart from hearing the gospel. Pastors preach the gospel to their congregations. Fathers and mothers teach the good news of Jesus to their children and bring them to church. Christians confess Christ before their friends and their neighbors. This is how God creates faith in the hearts of sinners. The woman in her litter lamp and swept the house, searching diligently for the lost coin. This is the work that Jesus does through his church, to find what belongs to him. The lighting of the lamp and the sweeping is the proclamation of the gospel. This great effort of the shepherd and the woman shows to you how precious you are in Jesus' sight. You are not worthy of God's forgiveness. That does not mean that you are not valuable to Christ. You see, he paid a dear price for you. Knowing the cost, he paid the price to set you free with his bitter pain and death. And knowing every one of your sins, he seeks with you the promise of forgiveness and the promise of salvation. Jesus wasn't ashamed to eat with tax collectors and sinners, with cheaters and fornicators. He wasn't ashamed to clothe himself in your sins and to wash them away in his own blood. And he is not ashamed to seek out sinners, to forgive them, to tell them that he knows their sins, and that he has covered them forever. Now it might seem that since only one of the 100 sheep and only one of the 10 coins got lost, that this parable is about just a few individuals, and it's probably not about you. Wrong. This parable is about you. You see, you are the lost sheep. You are the lost coin. Nevertheless, one thing that really bothers Christians is the fact that they still sin. You renounce your sin. You confess your love for Christ. You promise yourself and God that you will live a better life. And then you fall. Perhaps it's a sudden slip into selfish anger or filthy lust. Perhaps you've strayed away from God's word, fell from the faith, and lived as if God does not matter in fornication, greed, or violence. Or perhaps you come to realize that the pretty exterior you build up for yourself is really just whitewash on a tomb, and that nothing really good dwells within you. This is painful and embarrassing to call yourself a Christian, yet you do not deserve that title. Nevertheless, God does not call you a Christian because you deserve it. God calls you a Christian because he had bought you at a great price. You are his. The woman looked for the coin. And coins usually have the image of the head of the state. Since your nation is a republic, You have dead presidents and founding fathers on your coins. But in nations that have monarchs and emperors, it is the king or queens whose likeness imprints every coin. And you are God's coin. His image has been imprinted on you. This was done in the waters of baptism when you put on Christ. This means you belong to God, that you are precious to Him, that He's going out to seek you out. And He does this by the proclaiming Himself and forgiving you for Christ's sake. Dear saints in Christ, you gather every week to confess that you are poor, miserable sinners who deserve absolutely nothing but punishment. And then every week Jesus receives you, forgives your sins. Jesus is not ashamed to be found with you. No, He rejoices that He has found what belongs to Him. And the angels in heaven rejoice with Him also. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, release us from guilt and shame, and give us joy, since in your steadfast love you have cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, keep us from impenitence and self-righteousness.
May the return of many to your house cause great joy in heaven and among your people here on earth. Create in us a desire to live as faithful brothers who seek and welcome the lost. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, since our adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, by your Spirit keep us sober-minded and watchful, that we may resist him firm in our faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, be with those who govern in our nation, especially our president, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to serve us in your name. Give to the nation an end to violence and terror. Give us to work toward the common good for the sake of the most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, show compassion to Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Rachel, Shirley, Michael, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Tim, Tony, the Vicar Langton family, and the Leslie family, and all who suffer in our midst. Remind them continually of your benefits, forgive all their iniquities, heal all their diseases, and crown them with steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. In this baptismal anniversary, bless Jeff continually by your word and spirit, that he may faithfully keep the covenant into which he has been called, boldly confess his Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joy of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, though we were lost and dead in our sins, yet your Son has found us and made us alive through his word. Lead us in joy to your table this day to feast upon the very body and blood, and grant that we would never give thanks for your love and the grace with the angels, archangels, and the company of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are all like sheep who have gone astray and have allowed ourselves to be led from the right path by Satan and our sinful flesh. We implore you graciously forgive us our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may abide in your word in true repentance and steadfast faith, and so continue in your church to the end and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with communion hymn 307.
Bye.
sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. True body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me in baptismal grace.
Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed the remission of all your sins.
Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. On this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve the body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee